Parsha Shemois, Be'ezar Hashem, Chazal, call it Sefer Ha'Geula. We finished Sefer Bereishis. We're holding now in Sefer Shemois, Sefer Ha'Geula. We know that this is the Parsha where Klal Yisrael are going into Golus, even though it already started a little bit in the last couple of weeks. Parsha Vayichiv and Vayigash. But in this week's Parsha, the Golus intensifies as Klal Yisrael start to feel the Shibud Mitzrayim, and it really gets a serious matzav. At the beginning of the parasha, we know, famous parasha, Parasha Shemois, Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know, is born during this parasha. The parasha tells us, right in the beginning of the parasha, very interesting, and I believe there's a tremendous lesson that we can learn from this week's parasha. A really good lesson, something that we can take with us for the rest of our lives. The parasha begins the Eilu Shemois B'nei Yisrael and continues telling us some of the names. And then the Pasuk tells us in Perik Aleph, Pasuk Zayin of B'nei Yisrael, Poru, the Yishutsu, the Yirbu, the Ya'atzmu, B'ma'oid, Ma'oid, V'timoleh Ha'oretz Eisom. Klal Yisrael starting to become a tremendous nation in volume, and they started multiplying in a tremendous amount. Then the Pasuk says, Vayokom Melech Chodosh al Mitzrayim, Ashalo Yoda as Yosef, a brand new king came to Mitzrayim, one that didn't know Yosef. And we understand what happens afterwards. The Pasuk tells us that the Mitzrayim came to Paro complaining, saying, hey, what's going on over here? All of Klal Yisrael are becoming bigger than us. They're going to take us over. What's going to be? And then we know eventually Moshe Rabbeinu at this stage, When Paro makes all sorts of gzeiras on Klal Yisrael, and then the boys can die, the girls can live, b'chole b'chole, everybody knows the parasha. Moshe Rabbeinu is born, and Moshe Rabbeinu grew up with royalty. Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know, the Maaseh with Basya, Moshe Rabbeinu grew up in the house of a king, in Paro's household, in the palace itself, with all the royalty, with everything that goes together with kingship. Moshe grew up in that situation. And what does the Pasuk say? And here, Rabbeisai, is a lesson for our lives. A lesson that we can really learn something from. Says the Pasuk in Beis, Pasuk Yud Gimel. The Pasuk says, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayim b'yomim ahein, v'yigdal Moshe, Moshe grew up. V'yetzel ochov, he went out to his brothers. Vayar b'sivloisom, Vayar ish mitzri maki ish ivri me'echo. We all know the famous maisa that he saw one Jew is hitting another Jew. But the Pasuk tells us a simple line, Vayetze el ochiv Vayar b'siv loisom. What does that mean? Says Rashi, Rabbi Yisrael, you're so godly. Says Rashi, Vayar b'siv loisom nosan einov v'liboy liyos meitza aleihem. Moshe Rabbeinu went out, and remember, Rabbi said, this is a Moshe Rabbeinu that grew up in a house of a palace, and he goes out to see his brothers, and he goes out to see where they're coming from, to see where they're holding, to see what's going on, what's the situation. A tremendous insight. Later on in the Pasuk, the Pasuk tells us, and Pasuk Yudalad, if you took him away, says the Pasuk like this, Vayoymas, and Moshe Rabbeinu says to himself, Ochein noida hadova. Chazal tell us what that means. Chazal explained us as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu was wondering, which aveira did Klal Yisrael do to get this, to deserve such a golus, to deserve such a shibud, such a hard work, avodas perek, where'd they get it from? What was the cause? Which aveira did they do to have this done to them? And the Pasuk tells us very simple, Ochein noida hadova. Ah, Moshe Rabbeinu says, now I know the reason. Now I chap what's going on. Chazal explained to us what happened. They were speaking Lashon Hara, one Jew against another Jew. And Moshe Rabbeinu, as Chazal explained, was saying to himself a simple statement. I was wondering where this comes from, and now I figured it out. It was the Lashon Hara. If a Jew can say a word, speak a bad word against his fellow Jew, now I understand why they're in this hard golus. Now I understand why they're in this dark, horrible situation. Now we understand where they're coming from. What's the yesod of the golus? What's the pshat That's Lashon Hara that causes the Golus, and even more so, Rabbi said, this is the question I really want to get to. Moshe Rabbeinu. Which schus did Moshe Rabbeinu have to take Klal Yisrael out of Golus? We know that everybody was in Golus, and Moshe Rabbeinu had the schus of taking Klal Yisrael out. What was the schus? What was the midah that Moshe Rabbeinu had that nobody else had? And it's because of this midah that Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. The shaila is, what was this midah? In which schus did Moshe have to take everybody out of the Shibud Mitzrayim and in, out of the Geula? And maybe from there we can learn something very important, and that is, what do we have to do to get us out of Golus? What do we have to do to take us out of the Choshech, out of this horrible Golus with so many tzoros and so many terrible things? What can we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu? Rabbi Isai, let's think for a moment. What does a person speak Lashon Hara? Doesn't speak Lashon Hara. No, happens to the best of us. We're speaking to our chavrusas, we're speaking to our roommates, we're speaking to our parents, to our rebbeim, to our whoever it is that we're speaking to. And we say something not nice against somebody else. If we would go to the depths of our thoughts at that moment and figure out what causes a person to speak badly against somebody else, you know what it is? It's the need to feel good. You want to feel good about yourself. Oh, me, I'm the best. I'm going to make you bad. I'm going to speak bad against you. I'm going to put you down. Because when you go down, I automatically go up. And that's what the Chofetz Chaim explains to us so many times in the Sefer Chofetz Chaim. What the problem with Lashon Hara is, people want a quick fix, a quick up. What do? Put somebody else down. And I think Rabbi Yisrael goes a little bit deeper. And this is what we're trying to get over here. Where did Klal Yisrael get this from? If Moshe Rabbeinu was learning that this is the Siba of the Golus, this is the Siba of Shibud Mitzrayim, where did Klal Yisrael learn this from? So I want to tell you like this. I think they learned it from Pari. The Pasuk in the beginning of the parasha, as we mentioned a moment ago, told us that Klal Yisrael were really multiplying in a tremendous way. The volume, the numbers of Klal Yisrael were going up and up and up. Ad kedei kach. And the Mitzvah was saying, what's going on over here? We can't cope. These Jews have taken over the world. So what happened? So comes along the Svarno. The Svarno wants to tie in a Merdik Pshat. And he wants to tie in as follows. And he said that we're not going into now, but maybe it needs a shmuz on its own. The Svarno learns that when Klal Yisrael were becoming bigger and bigger, they were learning from the Goyim. They were acting like the Goyim. They were learning from the Goyim. Where did they learn it from? They learned it from Pari. What happened by Pari? Says the Pasuk. We all learned this Pasuk previously. The Pasuk tells us, Vayokom Melech Chodosh. A brand new king. Brand new king. Asher lo yodas Yosef. Never knew Yosef. So Chazal, Rashi brings it, Gemara in Saita, tells us, what do you mean he never knew Yosef? So there's two Pshatim, right? Either it was a brand new king that never knew Yosef. Oh no, it's the same king. The same king. But he just made ki'ilu he didn't know Yosef. Now everybody said, let's think for a moment. Who is this Parai? Ha! Chazal tell us, midget! Amma by Amma. You can kick him around like a football, right? But this Parai was the ruler of the entire world. I mean, you don't understand. The whole world were coming to Mitzrayim to buy food because there was a famine. The whole world were coming to Mitzrayim. And Paro was the ruler of Mitzrayim. Who caused all of this? Who made it Paro the way he was? Who gave Paro the covert? Who made Paro the person he was today? It's Yosef. All of it was Yosef. If not for Yosef, there's no way that Paro would have been in the situation that he was now. Ruler of Kamat, the entire world. And yet, what happens is unbelievable. Paro comes along, and all his advisors come over to him and say to him, hey, you're losing the throne, you're losing popularity, the Jews are becoming bigger and bigger, they're going to come into our governments, they're going to come into our, who knows what's going to happen. So Paro says, hold on a minute, there's a threat to me. Oh, who's Yosef? Yosef? I don't remember any Yosef. I don't get who Yosef is. Oh, now the picture changes. Because all of a sudden, the Avos Atzmoi, the love for himself. Paro said, Yosef did whatever he did, very nice. But now, it's me who rules. He worshipped himself. We know that he didn't go to the toilet. He made out he was a god. And all of a sudden there was a threat to himself. Chuck Yisrael out the window. And let's go weiter. Unbelievable act. This is the act of Paro. What's Paro teaching us? That a person can have tremendous hakoras hatoyim. And he knew that Yosef was the one that saved him, that saved Mitzrayim and made Mitzrayim the popular place that it was today in the entire world. But yet, when the moment came, when things got difficult, when the moment came when he was threatened, the I, the me, everything's about me, all of a sudden, chuck Yosef out the window and everything goes out. So Rashi, Osa Atzma Ki'ilu Lo Yadlas Yosef. Avadi, who knew Yosef was. But at this moment of time, he wasn't interested to know who Yosef was. Zuchazal Rabbi Isai, Kol HaKoifer, V'Toyvosoi Shel Chaveiroi, Soifoi Koifer Be'ikah. If a person doesn't realize what people do for him, he doesn't look at the good in others, doesn't give people back what they did for him, the goodness, eventually be Koifer in the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. If a person doesn't realize when someone does him something good to look out for someone else, everything's about him, me, then the Maisa things start to get crazy. Paro was an Oyev Atzmoi. He was somebody that loved himself. He was only interested in himself. And Rabbi Isai, this is tremendous because Klal Yisrael were looking at this. And Klal Yisrael were realizing what's going on. And Klal Yisrael were learning from this. And Mimele, when they started learning from the Goyim, we know through the generations, when Klal Yisrael and Jewish people start looking and start imitating the Goyim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Gzeiros. And oh boy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Gzeiros on Klal Yisrael at this time, and throughout the generations it happened that way. What's Lashon Hara? Lashon Hara means I look at you and I say, well, I want to be bigger than you. I want to be better than you. You always hear a conversation, right? Oh, this guy made an amazing business deal. He's got loads of money. What's the next comment? Yeah, he tricks around. He makes problems. He messes this. He messes that. Why? Because you're jealous. There's a killer. You're not happy with someone else. Why is there not a simcha to say, ah, Baruch Hashem, this person made money. What a wonderful thing. Something happens to someone. Someone makes a scene. Yeah, that happened. Somebody made a scene. So what's a cynical comment in the back there? Oh, this guy did the whole thing with the art scroll. He doesn't know it. You know, Daf Yomi, whatever. Donut, coffee in one hand, donut in the other hand. Sits there relaxing. Wonderful, right? Oh no. Because you're jealous. Why is the person not happy with his friend? Why is the person not besimcha when something happens good to his friend? And the problem is that's when Lashon Hara kicks in. The Chofetz Chaim explains, you want to build yourself up, there's a quick way to do it. How do you do it? Knock somebody else. And if that's what you're doing, they learned it from Paro. They saw by Paro that Paro wasn't interested. All of a sudden when it came to him, oh, everyone that did good for you gets out the window. Mimele Klal Yisrael started speaking Lashon Hara. And if Klal Yisrael started speaking Lashon Hara, Moshe Rabbeinu knew and understood clearly that this was the Siba, this was the reason for the shibud, for the goddess that they're in. And this is the problem of Lashon Hara. From Avos Atzma Rabbi Isai, you cannot be an Eved Hashem. A person can't be a true believer, follower, a servant of the Ribbono Shel Olam if you're only interested in yourself and you're looking out for your own good and you're looking what can you gain. That's when things get difficult. When you're looking, how can I succeed? How can I be the best? When you're doing it that, you can't be an Eved Hashem. And Rabbi Yisrael Lefizeh, I heard from one of my Rebbeim in Yeshiva, Al Pizeh, maybe we have a pshat to explain why Moshe Rabbeinu was the Goyim. We asked in the beginning, Moshe Rabbeinu took Klal Yisrael out of the Golas. What was the schus? What did Moshe Rabbeinu do? What was the midah of Moshe Rabbeinu that allowed him to do this? The answer is, Apia Medrash. There's a Moshe Medrash in Shemesh Rabbah. The Medrash explains, everybody knows this Medrash, we all grew up as little kids with little colouring books, we all know this Medrash. The Medrash goes as follows. The Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, grew up in the palace of the king, palace of Paro. He was a little kid. Medrash says, when he was a little boy, he was actually sitting on Paro's lap.
And Pyro was kissing him and hugging him. Little did he know, he's got a little Jew boy over there, right? This Pyro, this little Pyro, big, not small Pyro, should we say, got his big Moshe, right, on his lap over there, kissing and hugging him, thinking, oh, what a cutie, right? Little did he know, he's got over there. What does the Medrash say next? The Medrash says that at one point Moshe Rabbeinu took Pyro's crown, and he puts it on his own head. And everybody's laughing. Oh, what a cute kid. What a cutie guy. And all the administrators and all the professional people over there standing around the king are saying, Pyro, what's going on in here? You can't let somebody take off your crown and put it on you. And Pyro's like, what do you mean? That's it. No, you can't have this. It can't be. It can't be. All of a sudden they started saying, we've got to kill him. If this is what you're doing to the king, this is what you do to the melech, kill him. And he wanted to say he should be burned. Said the Medrash, Yisroi. Yisroi stood up and he said, no, he's a kid. What does a kid know? He knows the difference in a crown and a king and him and you and this and that. So they all looked to him and he said, you know what? Let's do a test. Simple test. Take a tray, take a plate. Put on this plate, put on this tray, two items. Item number one, a big fat piece of gold. Solid gold. Beautiful, shiny gold. On the other side, put a burning hot coal. Red hot coal. And let's have a look. Let's see which one he picks. We'll see that he's a kid. He's a couple of years old. Come on. What do you expect from him? So they said, all right, that's what we're going to do. They bring him a beautiful tray with a big piece of gold shining, sparkling away. And this black, ashen little coal with red poking from all sides over there. It looks dangerous as can be. Moshe Rabbeinu is given the choice. What are you going to pick? So Moshe Rabbeinu takes his hand and goes straight for the gold. The Malach Gabriel tells us the Medrash, takes his hand and says, oh no, go for the coal. And he took the coal and he put it to his lips and he burnt his lip, which caused him to have a lisp for all the years in the sedras that will speak out Beis Hashem next time. That's the Medrash. And that's what saved his life. So the Mephoshim ask a kash on the Medrash. No! So you understand? Gabriel took his hand, shifted it over, he took the coal, good, showed that he's only a kid, wonderful. But why do you have to burn his mouth? Right? He's obviously clever enough to realize he wanted the gold, not the coal. So why did he burn his mouth? So I saw a beautiful pshat from Rabbi Yashiv Zatzal. He wanted a tiny pshat like this. He said Moshe Rabbeinu took this as a sign for his life. Moshe Rabbeinu took this as this was a signal from Shemayim that your life is not meant to be nice, gold, pampered, beautiful, easy life. It's going to be black, it's going to be hard, it's going to be difficult, it's going to be choshech, but you can do it. And Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to give himself that sign for the rest of his life, and because of that he put it to his lip and made sure that he kept that signal for the rest of his life. And Rabbi Yisai, what does this mean to us? The Torah tells us a gavalda gazach. Says the Torah, Pasuk Yud Aleph again, Vayetzei el Ochiv, Vayar b'siv loisam. This was the Moshe Rabbeinu that grew up in the palace of the king. What does he do? Doesn't stay in the palace. He goes out and he looks at his brothers. He goes out to see where they're holding. Let's see what my brothers, the Jews, are up to. Let's see what's going on, how they're being treated, what's doing. And he wanted to take the oil. Zugrashi nosan eino velibo ilias meitza aleihem. He didn't just go there just to see where they're holding. He felt them. He felt their tsar. He felt their anguish. He really felt it inside him. This was the Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi Yisai. And this was the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu was taken as the goyel of Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen to take Klal Yisrael out of Geula. Why? Because he wasn't looking at himself. Moshe Rabbeinu had an opportunity to just sit in luxury. Mamish, you can imagine the palace over there, right? It was the most luxurious place. There was a golf course probably, 14 swimming pools. Every room had probably like a huge iPad or ice screen or whatever it is on the wall. Every single toilet had this beautiful gold painted toilet paper with the roll over there. Everything with a plasma screen in every bathroom. It was Mamish Moirid. To live in this palace was like, Mamish, Oilam Habo. Moshe could have just stayed there. Everything would have been good. But Moshe says, no. I'm going out to care for Klal Yisrael. I'm going out to help my friends. I'm going out to help the Yidden to see what they need, to feel their pain, to feel their anguish. And because of that, he was chosen to be the Goyel of Klal Yisrael. Now, Rabbi Yisai, I think there's a lesson.
I think there's a lesson if we're trying to look at ourselves and Rabbi said we don't have to look that far. The tzoros that are going on in Klal Yisrael, the illnesses that people, Rachmana Litzlan, Aleinu, are going through. People have lost husbands and wives and children in a terrible fashion, in a blink of an eye. People have tremendous tzoros with their own children. People have tzoros with themselves, health problems. It doesn't go, the list just goes on. We're in a golus that's terribly dark, it's terrible choshech. If we want to know what can we do to bring the geula, what can we do to make a difference? The answer is learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. Learn from Moshe Rabbeinu that a person should stop thinking about me, 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 me. It's not all about me. It's not all about I. It's about looking what does somebody else need. What can I do for somebody else? What nice words can I say for somebody? In the morning you say good morning, you give a smile, you have no idea what you can be doing. You say a nice word to somebody as opposed to a horrible one. You have no idea what you can be accomplishing. And you feel the simcha of somebody else. The MS! When something good happens to somebody else, because of this, because of that. No. You feel the simcha. You say, that's so good for you. I'm so happy for you. There was a maisa with a certain rav, a Rosh Yeshiva, that was staying in an inn. And he goes and he says, I need to sleep tonight while I'm going on to my travels, collecting money for the yeshiva, whatever it was. And the innkeeper said, no problem, you can have a room in the corner in Bayah. Tzena. As the innkeeper goes to sleep that night, he goes past this rabbi's door and he hears a crazy sound. He hears this singing and dancing. He's by himself in the room, like, what's going on over there, right? This rabbi is dancing and singing, mummish, jolly and merry. I don't know how many pints he took with him into the room over there, or how many shots of this, and how many puffs of that. I don't know what he was doing over there. But it sounded really, really good. The next morning, the rabbi checks out, says, thank you very much. The innkeeper says to him, hey rabbi, good night last night, right? She says, well, what are you talking about? Oh, I heard that singing. He says, no, I'll tell you what happened. I have a Talmud that was getting married in a certain place. I wasn't able, for whatever reason it was, to go to that place for the chasna. So I decided to dance at the wedding in my room. That's what he felt. He felt a simcha, somebody else's simcha. He be'emes felt a good feeling when something happened to someone else good. And Rabbi said, it's something that we have to learn as well. It's a midah that we have to work on ourselves. We have to spend time thinking about this. We have to spend time thinking about other people. A minute or two a day, think about what can we do for somebody else? How can we help somebody else? This was Moshe Rabbeinu's midah. This was what brought the geula to Klal Yisrael. To think of others, to think about somebody else. The midah of a goy is me, me, me. That's the midah of a goy. The midah of a yid is no, not me. It's about somebody else. What can I do for him? How can I help him? How can I make him happy? That's the yisoid of Yisai. And if you want to see a test, right? Rabbi Sol Salanta said, "Amayu de Gazach." Rabbi Sol Salanta said, "Amayu de Gazach." You know what he said? He said, imagine a person as a shayla with a cow, right? In the olden days, that was your parnosa. This cow is your parnosa. You shechted the cow, and you sold it for a lot of money, and that money bought another cow, which made milk, which eventually, and you make profit. This is how you lived. So a cow was a tremendous hefset. Now, if you have a shayla with a cow, you go to the local rabbi, and you say to the rabbi, Rabbi, kosher or not? Is it kosher or treif? The rabbi looks at it, backwards and forwards. He says, I'm sorry to tell you, but it's treif. And you put your head down, you're upset. But alright, you accept it, what can we do? Can't let everything. And he chucks it away and starts again. Tremendous loss he has. So we'll be so salanta rabbi-san. The same person, a day later, turns up at the rabbi's house. But this time not with a cow. This time with someone else. Hey, with somebody else. And have an argument. And they walk into the rav's house and they argue this way and that way. And the rav says, hold on a minute, tell me the story, what's going on? And he lent me money, he did pay me back. He didn't bring me back. He promised. He didn't promise. Like, answer, it's a whole story, a whole fight. The Rav looks into the Shaila. He asked all the information. And he says to that guy who came yesterday with the cow, I'm sorry to tell you, but your friend is right. He doesn't owe you the money. Oh, this guy goes out of the house from the Rav and says, oh, that Rav over there, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's crazy. He's biased. They said to him, I don't understand. Yesterday, you went to that rabbi with a cow. Huge episode, a cow, I don't know how much it cost in those days, but a cow didn't bother you one bit when you walked out of the house and he told you it's treif. And now you're going crazy. What's the answer? It says you're so slant, you know why? Because the cow was a loss to me. No, a loss is a loss, we'll accept it. Oh, but here we're dealing with something else. Today,
And not only did I lose money, but he got the money. And it's one thing for me to lose the money, but for him to have it? Oh, no way. And this is why the Rabbi didn't like. Because you can't cope when it happens to you and somebody else gains it. As we all know, right? We always want to be better than everybody else. We want to be richer, we want to be smarter, we want to be everything, more successful. Because it puts us on the top. And that's where Lashon Hara kicks in. And this, Rabbi say, is the key to the Geula as well. Rav Belsky from America, tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham, one of the biggest poskim in America, many years ago, had some emergency surgery. He was in the hospital for a small reason, and they found something terrible, Rahman al-Itzlan, and they told him, you need emergency surgery. Now, we've got to get in there. So the family started to have a discussion. They said, listen, you're not in the best hospital in the whole America, in the whole New York. Let's transfer you to the best hospital in New York. Let's get you the top service with the best surgeons and everything. And Rebelski at the time, who was very weak at the time, it was difficult for him to speak. He opened his eyes and says, no, you can't do that. Because if you do that, the hospital that I am now are going to be upset. They're going to think, oh, we're not good enough to treat this big rabbi. You've got to go somewhere else, to the bigger hospital. And he closed his eyes and they wheeled him into the operating theater. At the moment, it's the true Maisa. At the moment they wheeled him into the operating theater, his heart stopped beating. But, Siyata Dishmaya, he was in the hospital at that moment because he wasn't being transferred. And he was on the surgery, he was right there with all the biggest surgeons and doctors. And they saved his life. Had he been transferred, I don't know if he would have made it. And his daughter commented afterwards, and she said, that was my father. And a situation where he was weak and it was difficult, and medically you can come along and say, come on, it's better this way, that way. But to hurt somebody else, to do something that someone else will feel bad, will feel hurt because of you, that's the worst thing that a person can do. There was a yid, I want to tell you a couple of mice over here. Mama's tremendous mice. There was a gewaldige mice. With Reb Chaim Ozer Gruzhinsky was one of the big gedolim, and he was walking home from the Beis Medrash back to his home. A whole crowd of all his talmidim were walking around him. They all, as they always do, they walked him back to his home, and people are shailas, freezing cold, real winter, not like today, but real winter. Everybody was wrapped up, and it was starting to get cold on the fingers and the toes. And at one point, a new boy showed up, and he said to the Rebbe, like emotional, and ask a shaila. So they ask a shayla. We're almost at the home, but ask a shayla. So he comes over to Reb Chaim Ozer, and he says to him the following. He says, could the Rosh Yeshiva tell me how to get to a certain street? And the Rosh Yeshiva said, sure, no problem, come with me. And he took his hand, and off he went in a totally opposite direction. Talmidim couldn't believe it. The Rebbe was an old man. To walk home from the yeshiva was already difficult. To go to all the way now to the street that they never even heard of. How can you do it? But they didn't question the Rebbe's the Rebbe. And off they went a half an hour until they got to the street. All during the time he was holding the hand of this Talmud. And he was speaking to him and learning in a geshmaka way. He showed him, look, here's the street, that's where you are. Turned around back home. And the Talmidim said to him, Rebbe, come on, you're the God of Lador. The whole world is coming to you with their shailas. This just wasted an hour of your precious time. In the freezing cold, you're an old man. What's pshat? Why'd you do it? Listen to his answer. And the answer is the yisoid of what we're mentioning today. His answer was, you're right. But if I would have just told him simply, just go down there, make a right, make a left, and figure it out, then he would have had to ask somebody else. Do you know how difficult it was for him to ask in the first place? He stutters. It's difficult. It's embarrassing. If I wouldn't have taken him there, he would have had to ask again, and that would have embarrassed him. I didn't want to have that embarrassment on my shoulders, and I'm going to take him all the way there. You know what that means? You know, that's called Avas Yisroel. That's called a person not thinking about me. Life isn't about thinking about you. Life is about thinking about somebody else. What can you do to make somebody else's life even better? Rabbi said, this is a mode of Kamaisa, the Chofetz Chaim, the Eilige Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim, as we know, towards the end of the years, was very, very old, didn't travel too much. In the winters of Radin, it was freezing. And there was a very wealthy man that went to visit the Chofetz Chaim at one stage. So now he comes to the Chofetz Chaim's house, he talks to the Rebbe, discusses things with him, and eventually says, I'd like to give the Rebbe a present. So he gives him two beautiful fur leather gloves. and the Chometz Chaim, I don't need it, I don't want it, Oile Mazeh. No, 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 please, I want the Rebbe to have it, I want the Rebbe to have it. So eventually he says, okay, if it'll make you happy, I'll take the gloves. Takes the gloves. A couple of days later, he has to go traveling. So they go to the train station, a whole crowd, a whole entourage together with him. They buy their tickets, and he goes onto the train. He doesn't take off his coat, but he puts the two gloves in his pocket. And things were a little bit tight over there. They had to keep moving up and down. Passengers coming in, passengers coming out. And at one stage, the Chofetz Chaim's pocket sort of caught onto the window. And his glove, by mistake, flew out of the window. And they showed the Chofetz Chaim and said, Rebbe, your glove just flew out the window. And the Chofetz Chaim, what happened? You know what he did? He took the other glove and he threw it also out the window. And they said, Rebbe, what are you doing? You know how expensive these gloves are. What was the answer of the Chofetz Chaim? The answer of the Chofetz Chaim was, one second, someone's going to be walking down the street, walking past the railway tracks, and he's going to see one glove, and he'll pick it up and say, what a beautiful glove. And he's going to put it on, but he doesn't have the other one. I'm not going to do anything with one glove. Let him at least feel good that he got two gloves. That's the Chofetz Chaim, Rabbi Isai. This is what it means, avas of somebody else, not avas atzmoi. Not all about you, you, you. How can I win? How can I succeed? How can I be better? Put somebody else down. No, it's about what can I do for somebody else? What can I help somebody else? How can I make somebody else's life better? And you obviously have no idea the koyach of your maisa. There was a maisa a couple of years before the Second World War. Tremendous. And there was a Jew, a German Jew, who was in the army. And at one point, whenever they were fighting over there, one of the German soldiers fell down. He was shot. He was down. And this Jew went over to him to see if he can help him. And he realized straight away that he's a German, that he's a guy. But he said, what's the difference? Jew, not Jew. Take him in. He pulled him in. He treated to him. And he saved his life. And this guy said to him, I don't know how I can ever repay you. And he said, oh, I don't want repayments. I don't need anything from you. I did what I had to do. That was the normal thing to do. A few years later, when the war started, and the Nazis and Mark Shimon were coming over to all people's houses to round them up, to get them out. So just before that time, in this person's house, there was a knock on the door, a bunch of soldiers barge inside, everyone was petrified. The place was silent, everyone was still. What do they want from us? We've heard rumors about what they're doing in different places. What are they doing over here? And it was this soldier, and he said, are you so and so? And he said, yes. Didn't recognize who this was. So the soldier said, I tracked you down. I'm that soldier that you saved a number of years ago from the war when you treated me. You saved my life. I finally have a chance to pay you back. Tomorrow, there's going to be a roundup. They're going to round up all the Jews. Get out now. Get out today. Get out as quick as you can. And he told him, and he spread the word to his family and friends in the ghetto over there. And they fled, and it saved their lives. Little did he know, a little act of kindness, being nice to somebody else, even when he didn't have to, saved his life in a tremendous, tremendous way. There was a maaseh here in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, a number of years ago. There was a bacha in yeshiva that was staying by his grandmother's house, and he went over to the Kosel HaMaravi to daven a mincha. After the Kosel, after the mincha, he goes to the bus stop, he calls his grandmother and he says, I'm getting the bus, it should be coming in approximately 2 to 3 minutes, and I'll be by your house in approximately 20 minutes. Don't worry about me, I'll be okay. So his grandmother says, thank you for letting me know. He gets to the bus stop, he's waiting there, the bus is almost around the corner, and somebody comes over to him and says, oh, do me a favor. A Jew, from Hasidic fellow, says, do me a favor, watch my buggy, watch my stroller for me. I left my tehillim by the kosel. Please, watch it for me. I'm just going to go get it and bring it straight back. He said, sure. Chesed's a chesed. So here you go. Holds the stroller. The guy goes running to go and get his tehillim. And the bus comes around the corner and it comes. And he's looking frantically, thinking, what's going on? Come on, come on, come on. You know, where's it? I need to go. My grandma's waiting for me. I told him I'm coming in 20 minutes. Where's the guy already? Chesed's a chesed. I can't leave a baby by itself. So finally, he missed the bus and the bus went off. And all of a sudden the guy comes panting and says, oh, I'm so sorry, I hope I didn't cause you a delay. No, no, Chas v'Shalom, it's okay, it's okay. But he just realized that his grandmother would be worried. So he waited for the next bus. So he calls his grandmother and the phone doesn't go. He waits for the next bus, it doesn't come and it doesn't come. Eventually takes a taxi. And he goes to his grandmother's house, knocks on the door, there's no answer. He lets himself in and he sees his grandmother crying. He says, what's the matter? She looks around in a shock. She says, you're here? He says, yeah, what happened? Said, that bus that you were meant to go on
that was blown up. There were 23 people that were killed on that bus. 100 people were injured. I knew that you were on that bus because you had told me 2 minutes before you were leaving the Kaisel. And on that bus, on that route, I was petrified. And he said to her, because I did a chesed, I helped somebody else out. When you help somebody else out, the schus. The boy says, Rabbi Zalman Meltzer was one of the Gedolei Olam. And he was sitting learning with his chavrusa, 12 o'clock at night. He was sitting learning the sugya with the Gemara, with the Rashi, with the Tosfos. They're going to knock at the door, 12 o'clock at night. Who's knocking Rabbi Zalman's door? God Lador. And it's a young bocha. A young bocha. So he says, Rebbe, I need to speak to the Rebbe, emergency. Kuach nefesh. So the Rebbe says, come to my private room. He goes into the private room over there. And he listens to the shaylis. Chavrus is waiting, 12:15, 12:30, 12:45, 1 o'clock in the morning. How could the shayla be? What's going on? So he goes and knocks on the study door. He sees that the boy's waiting outside. He sees that the Rosh Hashiva, the Rebbe's inside by himself. He says, what's going on? So he knocks on the door. And he'll go, opens it slightly. And Rabbi Zalman says, don't disturb me. Shh, okay, fine, he closes the door. He's never seen the Rosh Hashivas like this. He's never seen the Rebbe like this. In such an anxious way. In such a tremendous turmoil. It was such a stress. What was the Shaila? What could it have been already? Young boy. And then another hour later, 2 o'clock in the morning, he goes and knocks on Rabbi Zalman's door. And he sees him in the bed over there, tossing and turning, trying, thinking. Mamish with his head in his... His mamish been in the sugya. He says, Rebbe, help me, please. I want to help you. Tell me what I can do. Tell me what I can say. Help me. No, I can't speak a little bit longer. Another half an hour, Rabbi Zalman comes out, feels relieved. And he calls back in the bocha. And eventually the bocha goes out. 2:45 in the morning, Rabbi Zalman comes back to his chavrusa. His chavrusa says, what was this shaila? This shaila seemed to have taken 2 hours or whatever. What was it? Because I'll tell you. This boy was a chosim. He was a chosim. He was just engaged. And he was told that his kala has a terrible illness. And the shaila that he came to me was, should I break the shidduch or not? And I said to myself, the shame, the embarrassment that this woman will get when you break off the shidduch, everyone will know, it will be terrible, she won't get engaged again, married again. The shame, the embarrassment of one yid. How can it be? How can we do it? And I had to go through this sugya backwards and forwards, and it caused such a tsar, such a tremendous stress. The tsar of one yid. And what do? We're so easy. We're so easy to think about me. Think about ourselves to make life better for us. How can we become the top? How can we succeed? How can we look the best in front of our friends? That's what we're looking at. We're not looking at everyone else. Rabbi Sai, from this week's parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu had the schus of taking Klal Yisrael out of Shimon Mitzrayim, of the Geula, was dafka through Moshe. Why? Because he had this midah. He had the midah of looking at somebody else, looking to see what he needs. I think, Rabbi said, this is something that we have to work on ourselves. This is something we have to machazik on ourselves. We should spend time a little bit during the day. What can I say a nice pleasant comment to him? What can I be nice and smile to him? How can I make somebody else feel good? It shouldn't always be about the me, about the I. And Be'ez Hashem, Rabbi said, with nischus, we should taka have the geula. We should be zoicha to look after Klal Yisrael, to be emulate Moshe Rabbeinu in a tremendous way. And Be'ez Hashem, because of that, the Rebbeinu Shalom will give us all the siyata d'shmaya that will have a koyach and will have the steps to actually bring the geula b'mehirah v'yameinu. Amen.